like, oh, you've been through this before. Don't do that. And you're like, oh, okay, shut up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Noted.
But not today, Satan. Yes. You know?
Yeah. Welcome to The Most High Show. My name is Reverend Christian Jansen. Today, our guest is Paige. She's a certified Reiki practitioner and Usui. Holy Fire Intuitive Seer, healer, and medicine woman.
I love that.
And certified birth doula.
Yes.
And she's going to be talking to us about what it's like to live this life of a healer and what got her there and how that could be helpful to you and your own healing. So David is here.
Yo.
Kale's on the ones and twos.
My man.
Leslie's doing quality control.
Where you at, Leslie?
This is The Most High Show. Let's go. Welcome to The Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is The Most High Show. Talking about this ego thing, right? Like, first off, this is so awesome to talk to you about this because I feel like I don't have people that talk to about this kind of stuff often, but or often enough. But there's an illustration of the stagecoach driver and the person inside the stagecoach driver. Have you heard this?
Mm-mm.
And so the stagecoach driver is that person up there, and they're holding the reins, and they're clicking and clacking, and when they pull the rein, the horse turns. When they swap it, it goes in fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after a while, that person up top gets to thinking, oh, this is my stagecoach.
Mm.
Like, I'm the one in charge. And the person inside is just asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while, that person inside's got to, look out the window or bang on the thing and go, where are we going? Why are we going so fast? Or this isn't the direction I want it to go, right? Because the one inside the carriage is the one who owns. It's their carriage, right? And so I like that illustration because there's a symbiotic relationship between ego and true self, higher self, whatever that other self is, right? Like that there has to be a symbiotic because the idea that I can completely obliterate my ego is like probably not attainable, right?
It's not.
So I like that illustration that it's that my, true self is asleep and just not paying attention, or been duped or is overwhelmed by it all, and it's just like, oh, forget it, And so it has to right size that guy up top that you're important.
Mm-hmm.
I need you.
Mm-hmm.
But this ain't your rodeo, right? I mean, this ain't your trip. This is my trip, and you got to be where you got to go where I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that illustration, but I think finding how to actually live in harmony with the ego is, I guess, where the practice comes in play, right?
It does.
Yeah.
And you don't rid the ego. You're friends with the ego. You want to make friends with your ego.
Yeah.
Especially the fact that your ego has been there defending you and protecting you for the majority of your journey.
Right.
And using your meditation practice to identify your repeated loops, your patterns, and where it's showing up is where you can find your duality. Right.
Yeah.
Your voice has always been there. That's your kind of your intuition.
Yeah.
Right. But your ego gets louder because of the fear. Hi.
How you doing?
Paige. Nice to meet you. Yeah.
Keep going. I'm listening.
Yeah. And, doing your shadow work and doing, like I talked about, the being in recovery and doing these steps and this louder, right? It helps to pull out what's in the ego, what's blocking you, what's holding you back. And bring forth that lighter side of you where you can feel safe to walk from your heart and walk in that light, And the longer you go into the practice and quiet the mind and become the observer, right, is when you can start hearing that voice, oh, you've been through this before. Don't do that. And you're like, oh, okay, shut up.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Noted.
But not today, Satan,
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Have we started the show?
Yes. Yeah. Well, we just started talking, and I was like, we got to hit record because we just kind of dove in.
This isn't just life.
We're talking about the balance of, you know, right sizing. I'm sorry.
But I think every day, you know, we
see. Can I tell you, can I cut it?
Yeah.
Because there's an issue I have with these kind of like frameworks like this. It breaks me into two people.
It is your two people. You are the light
like
and the dark.
I don't like that I'm this two, you know. And then it's like depends on what framework I go to look at myself. Mm-hmm. I might be four people in there, you know what I mean? Or I might have the – and so it's like – I like the idea of like I have to integrate these parts of myself because I am a whole self. Like these are like these are the pieces of me that compose the one.
But you're a universe too. You're made up of multi molecules and dimensions. You're not just one existence. And I think the indigenous people like to talk about us as being shapeshifters. We're constantly shifting and changing and putting on different hats to show up into this 3D existence, right?
Yeah.
We don't have to be one way, right? And I think a lot of times in our society, we think that we are only supposed to be of the light. We need to be the good girl or the good boy, right?
Yeah.
But there's this dark side of us, right? That a lot of people have pushed.
Well, not David. He doesn't.
Not
have a
David.
Dark
side.
No, I embrace it at
good.
All times.
Good. Good.
No, I don't.
You know, and I think it's
I'm disgusted with my dark
side. It's good.
Most
it's good. Like that is a good. Right. That is our like. That's where your power is. If we can learn how to be the master of that power, right? Instead of going around telling everybody "fuck off," you know, you're a piece of shit, you know, but hold that power, right, and that strength and control and understand that situation, we become the master of this of your life, right? Being able to harness that power and the darkness.
I was just listening to somebody say, you know, would you rather be like just really good person, right? Is that the best way to go about your life, or is it about being like a person capable and understanding that you can do damage and there is this part of you, but learning to control that, but have it.
Right.
It's almost like kind of what Mitchell said in the documentary, you know, where you're like a warrior.
Absolutely.
But you know,
absolutely.
I'm gonna be a gardener. I forget.
You know, warrior. I like to talk about, you know, archetypal energy. Mm-hmm. And I like to talk about earth. Primal energy. I like to talk about nature, right? We think that as the human culture is that we need to go around and tell everybody please and thank you all the time and not defend our power or defend our boundaries or defend our children. We need to all be nice and be all this politically correct, you know? But if we go back to primal, we go back to nature, we go back to archetypal energy, you pull your sword out and you defend what you believe in and what you stand for.
Yeah.
We don't have to be nice. And it doesn't make me wrong. It makes me strong. You know, because I trust my voice and I trust my power and what I stand for. And I don't have to be nice about it.
I see. I have a
don't mind if I hurt your feelings.
I have a big problem in that area because it does affect me if I hurt somebody's feelings. And I'm a pretty passive person. So it's like I feel like I have to be a certain way, and if it gets me to the point where a confrontation is needed, I'm like ready to kill you, like basically I'm ready to like do whatever. So it's like trying to find that ground,
right,
that middle ground, because I don't, it's like I'm kind of like a repressor of like my anger and that part of myself that you're encouraging,
right?
Because I feel, at least I'm not saying that I think I'm talking too high, saying then I'll kill you. I'm not saying it like that, but I feel like at least I tell myself, if I go here, we're going to get down. Like I just unfold it I take it to the extreme almost every time. That thought of being assertive, being assertive in a positive way, is a freaking exercise for me.
Do you know why?
I don't know, maybe fear.
I mean, it all bases with fear. Yeah. But if you think of your body as being a container, right? And everything is energy, even your emotion, right? So every time you tell yourself no, you pocket it. Every time you say no and not speak your truth, you pocket it, right? So it takes one person to push it, and it's like, let's open the whole container.
Yeah. Yeah, right? That's how I feel. Really.
Right. So let's open the whole container. Right. And then so. Right. Right. You know, so that, you know, going into being able to acknowledge that's fear. Yeah. And what I like to also teach is going back to childhood. Where did it start from? Mm. Why? Where was it that you were told not to speak your truth, to keep your emotions and your thoughts quiet because you're going to be judged and that you need to make sure you please?
Well, he did grow up Korean.
I think it's a very cultural, instinctual thing.
That's right? What, like, in being curious, right? And not just for you, but like collectively, for collective personal healing, right? Is to go back to the beginning. And then as the adult, say, is that really suiting me today? Is that really factual?
Right.
Do I need to continue to play this narrative, you know, because it's bringing me harm?
So do you give like practice? Like, do you?
This is
is this the practice? Like, do you sit with me and be like, all right.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
This is the scenario. Okay?
Yes. That's what
this guy cut you off in traffic.
Yes.
How do you go about doing this?
That's when we talked, you asked me about what is intuitive guiding and Reiki and the things that I do is being a seer or someone that's intuitive, right? Is the fact that I've journeyed through this, right?
Experience.
My own personal experience, but also to speaking and holding that space with you, asking those curious questions, because it all starts somewhere. We weren't born having these fears. We were born divine. We were born whole. And through the journey, we picked up behaviors because of what we were taught. And then somewhere we stored it because our brain is just a computer and our body keeps an energetic score. So where there's a thought, there's a pain, and then there's a reaction. So to go back and erase the line, we have to go to the very beginning. And if we can't remember the beginning, we need to keep digging. Because if we want to create new and stop the loop, we've got to go to the beginning. Right. We just can't accept unless you want to accept the fear and the pain and continue to live a life without being authentic. But I think we're in a time where being authentic is needed.
Yeah,
right.
It's promoted.
It's promoted because suffering is over rampant on our planet, and people are dying because they're wanting to come out. They're wanting to talk. They're wanting to be free of these chains, and they want to be in this heaven. Right. But how are we getting there if we're not talking our truth?
That's really interesting.
We're being held, right?
Yeah, I feel like I've grown such a callus of being that way that I don't know if it's I don't know if I the only time I really address it is in settings like this. Like, I understand that it's a
real private settings where you can speak honestly. Yeah. Without the cameras and the lights.
I get it.
I think it's when the subject comes out. You know what I mean? And I can be honest and talk about myself in that way and you know, expose like that part of myself that I want to work on. And I think I do make efforts in working on that, but it's still this instinctual thing in me that like would rather avoid it. Mm-hmm. So much so that if I do like focus on that, if I'm in a situation where I go, okay, listen, I got to address this, I got to be assertive, I got to speak my mind, I got to stand up, and I got to do that, and I go through that process, and a lot of time, honestly, it's between my wife and I, right? It's so exhausting afterwards.
Yeah.
It's like the workout of workouts. I will like pass out cold. And I'm a light sleeper, but I will pass out cold from just exerting myself in that energy and putting it out there. It's hard for me, man. It really
is. It's purging.
Is. Yeah.
It's purging.
It's really difficult.
Yeah, and they didn't tell us how, you know, the healing process was so tiresome, especially releasing the energy.
Yeah.
And not just your energy, right? Because we're a genetic code. Your father's energy, right? The energy of your mother that you was encoded into you when you were in her womb, right? You're already determine, right, these energies, these fears from being in her womb, from her consciousness, right? So it's you're battling your own stuff. But when we talk about generational trauma and all of this other stuff, it's in your DNA. It's in your consciousness, right? In your subconscious, right? That we're putting forward, right? So we have an opportunity to stop it and to stop transferring that consciousness into our children and then their children's children. So doing the hard work, letting ourselves fall to the ground in pain, you know, not just for us, but collective and but for our children, because we don't deserve to not speak our truth. There's a way we can say what we have to say in a powerful, strong, non-abrasive way.
Yeah. Say but, what you mean and you don't know, say it mean.
Right. But I think it's you have to get through those bumps of like blah, blah, to get out. And that's where meditation comes into like great play in all of this, because you get to download a lot of this stuff, right?
Through meditating.
Through meditation. Yeah.
You know the problem with meditation is, though? You got to meditate.
You have to meditate. Yeah. You know,
that's
you
the problem
to,
with
you
it.
You have to actually
sit down and do it.
Yeah, you have to sit down and do it.
Yeah.
And I like to always teach that, you know, it's a practice, and how do we set it up in our daily life?
Well, you know, I'd like to, because I like everything you're explaining, like I've been kind of going through this over the last few months, and it's a really scary part when these pieces of you begin to start unraveling, because there's an uncertainty now in my day to day, right? Mm-hmm. Because I have this sense of I'm really clear on how well I could derail everything, right?
Ooh.
It's so clear to me. And then
let's look at
it's
derail.
So real.
Let's look at derail. What is derail? Change?
Destroy it? What?
Yeah, completely change, you know.
Why is that wrong?
Well, it's just not. It's not actually what I desire, right?
Okay.
Right, because what?
What might be if God desires it for you? So he has to destroy it, or she has to destroy what you think is good for you to rebuild what is right for you.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is happening right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's ego. That's self. That's will. Self-will. Mm-hmm. Run riot. Right?
Yeah, right.
And in the midst of, you know, the tarot card, a lot of people are in tarot, right? That is, how do we build a new nation?
Mm.
The nation has been currently built on free will.
Mm-hmm.
Has been built on ego, right? But for you to realign with our higher power's will and your soul purpose, we need to destroy what you think is good for you.
Yeah.
Because it's maybe not. And, you know, I've my brother.
Well, how do you decipher that, though? Like,
how?
It just starts
happening.
It just starts unfolding through the process?
Through the process.
Well, put it this way. Not necessarily that it wouldn't be good for me. It just wouldn't be good for everyone around me. You know? That's pretty much.
It's usually that's how it goes, right?
But there's kind of like, because we're kind of like, and these things are all very paradoxical, and we're turning things. So, you're speaking absolutely, but not in absolutes, right? So, because there's also this thing of knowing my power and harnessing it, right? And controlling it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the balance of this, right? And I think like what happened, at least, because what I was thinking of was like how religion had given me a lot of beautiful things, but it also given me this kind of shame framework, right? And this very right or wrong framework, right? And so in kind of destroying of that and then kind of going, okay, now what's right or wrong? What's good or bad? And is it all just, you know, the wild, wild west out here, you know, or is there a internal guide in me, right, that I can access through meditation, right, or through sitting down and being silent and then follow that, right? And so that's where I'm talking about the conflict becomes
GPS.
Yeah, the conflicts because here's this thing that's saying here we're going this way. It's taken, you know, this is why I like cocaine, right? Because I could just take cocaine, I'm there.
Yes.
Right? Like whoop, here we are. Right. Cool, back to normal, everything's fine. Right? But now it's like, this is a really slow process, right? I have this daily reprieve that I have to, that I get to exist in and I get to maneuver in, and it's taking time and I'm ready to be there, right? And I think that's where I get into a lot of trouble because I'm trying to circumvent. I think not just me, I'm speaking of myself, but I think like if I'm experiencing it, I'm sure someone else is, right? We're trying to circumvent these things
Spiritual bypass?
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. spiritual bypass would mm-hmm. be one. Mm-hmm. Drugs is another way, mm-hmm. right? Of us, mm-hmm. how do I bypass this and just mm-hmm. get to a sense of being okay with who I am, right? Which to me would be being in communion or connection with the divine source, mm-hmm. right?
But the only way to grace, right? Only way to grace is through the trials and tribulations.
Right.
So we have to experience suffering.
Yeah.
Right? We yeah. have to be the warrior, right? We almost have to prove our right to hold this sacred key, right? Yeah. To be in the Garden of Eden that yeah. we are already in.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
We can be in the hell or we can be in the heaven. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times we are in the suffering, we're in the pain, and we don't know how to get out.
Yeah.
Right?
That's and, or you get addicted right. to the suffering, yeah. like right. the pain and the
you
suffering
don't know.
Feels
chaos.
Good.
Yeah.
Chaos, yeah. craziness, all that.
I was just talking to him the other morning, I think this week or last week.
And him is a Sean, person named Sean, her partner. He is in the room.
Yes, Sean is here.
He is in physical in form. He still has a body.
See him.
We He's welcome there. Him and his body here.
Yep.
Yes.
That, you know, I have my journey from birth has been trauma, has been abuse. Mm. And that I didn't know what a really good day was,
yeah.
right? I didn't right. know what it feels like. Felt like,
yeah.
you know, and even in this journey in recovery, right? Like you have these ebb and flow, right?
Yeah.
And we fake it till we make it. Mm-hmm. I use the affirmations. I do the prayers. I do the service. I do all the stuff, right? But yeah. you're still like, I've got another day.
yeah.
You know,
yeah, yeah.
another day of all of the things, yeah. right? And I woke up one morning and I was like, today is going to be a good day.
Mm.
Like I made it. Like today, I feel that today is going to be a good day. So it's like we have to put in the work. We have to continue to do the things. If it's the affirmations or crawl on our knees and cry and purge. And
yeah, even if you're not necessarily like feeling it.
Right.
That
no.
day, that's the discipline part of it,
it's
right?
It's the discipline.
You have to be disciplined and consistent mm-hmm. and
right.
work.
I had one of those right. mornings this morning. The alarm was going off 5 a.m. and I'm like, I was already kicking my ass mm-hmm. in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I want to go down there and get the coffee and read the devotion and sit and pray and go to the gym mm-hmm. and go to the meeting. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, but I just did it because I'm like, whatever. I just got to do it. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And sitting in that meeting this morning was the little click.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh. And it was not like, an eternal click for the rest of my life, but it was enough to get through to this moment right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know? I think there is mm-hmm. definitely going through the difficulty of a day when you're just not feeling it.
Yeah.
But when you get through it, there is a sense of, okay, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
What's up tomorrow? Yeah. I got it.
Mm-hmm. Or even if, like, you know, I just want to say, like, if the best you could do is take a nap, you know, then take a nap, you know, like, you know, like, I just think, like, we are collectively so hard on ourselves, right?
Yeah,
and we're
constantly.
Trying to live to this standard, mm-hmm. you know, and we've talked about this on the show where it's like, you know, we created machines and then we want to be machines, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, oh, just keep producing more, just keep doing, keep going, keep this, keep that. And it's like, then we're having all these habits and all these systems and things in play that just keep us producing, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking.
That's why they invented coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, because they yeah. saw that the workers worked a little bit longer and harder, so mm-hmm. they started putting coffee breaks in their
yes.
day.
Yeah.
You know, but ultimately that's not why we're here. We've been programmed to think that's why we're here.
Yeah.
We are not slaves to the matrix, right? Yeah. And using meditation and realizing who you are and why you're here and reflecting on self-care, you start to detach from all of those expectations,
yeah.
right? Because it's false. And, you know, we're ultimately here. If we, like, the days that we're feeling like this, you know, I like to reflect in the evening, and most of the time my schedule, it's called 7 to 9. Sean laughs at me, but I spend a lot of time going in and maneuvering through and feeling through, well, why am I thinking this? What happened? Mm-hmm. Why did they say, you know, being super curious with myself,
right.
You know, because we're not supposed to feel this way, right? A lot of times if we're being triggered in this way, it's because we need to work on something, you know? So what is it that I need to work on?
When you are disturbed, it's you who's disturbed.
It's you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then we talked about in the interview questions about our steps being this ladder, right?
Yeah.
This spiritual ladder, mm-hmm. Or the program, you know, being this ladder relieving of suffering, mm-hmm. right? Because it does, it's when we come in, there's this, in my mind, I see it as this imagery, like a ladder's being set down into the hole that I've dug for myself, right? Mm. And we have our friends in the program, the angels that are there saying, hey, come on, let's get up, right? And like that first step is surrendering, I need help, this universal surrender, right? Picking up that white chip saying,
yeah.
I need help. My life has been unmanageable, but I also like to put in there that my mind has been unmanageable, you know, because that is the root to it all. Because we are, like you said earlier, I am not my thoughts.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. My thoughts are old programs, old beliefs, old, you know, attachments, old stories that the ego wants to keep telling me is right.
Yeah.
But now I'm taking this new whole surrender, right? I'm on that first step and I'm picking up this white chip and that's not me.
Right.
Right. So I surrender. And then now I'm on this beautiful journey of co-creating with the universe, right?
Yeah.
Am I aware? Am I open? Am I seeing? Right. And then I also like to say that it's also a spiritual enlightenment ladder, right? Because we get to 12. We're supposed to have the spiritual awakening, right? And then what?
Yeah.
Right? And then what?
You start giving back.
You start giving back, right?
Yeah.
You start giving back to community. But mm-hmm. we go deeper into spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes we get lost in getting back to step one. We get back into a recovery loop, you know? We go back to one. I surrender, you know? But that 12 is about we are now in the all. Right? Mm. How am I going to be a spiritual leader? How am I going to offer this gift of medicine?
Back to that owning power, right? Owning your power at that point, right?
And it keeps unfolding.
Yeah.
Right? There's this like blossom that keeps opening, more information, more knowledge keeps. We can't hold universal gifts, right? It's karma.
Mm.
We have to offer it back to collective. It's a constant flow. So staying in the flow of the universe, we have to give. We get, we give.
It's all about giving.
It's all about giving.
It's all about giving.
It's all about giving.
Yeah.
So we get more information. We get more clearing. We give, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so let's jump into what brought you to a place where, as much of this as you're comfortable sharing, but what brought you to a place where you did begin to go into this ladder? What got you in the hole?
Wow.
And then what, let's start there because I have a couple questions around that. So let's start there.
What brought me in 9 years ago? I was a victim,
mm-hmm.
right? I was a victim to my life and I was mm-hmm. a victim to everything.
Yeah.
I said earlier that my journey of abuse started when I was a child. I was 2 years old when I was sexually molested.
Mm-hmm.
That did not stop. It just blossomed into new things, right? To physical abuse, mental abuse, abusing myself, right? Abusing others. It was just abuse, 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 right? Finally, at that mark, right? There was like a year prior where I felt like I did some experimental drinking, right? Like how many beers can I have? Or how many drinks can I have?
I wonder.
Right.
How many
I got beat up.
Make me feel funny.
Right, right. I noticed that I would drink a 36 pack, you know.
That's a good experiment right there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was trying to just drink two.
You're executing right there.
Right, right. I had gotten to the point where I was smoking crack. smoking meth. I have children. I'm a mother and a grandmother now. They weren't really active in my life because of the people that I was surrounding myself with. I could not keep a job. So that, you know, I went, I became what I thought I was with like all the things that I was told so many years. I became that.
You become it.
Yes. I was the whore. I was the drunk. I was the drug user. I had no job and I was unloved. I became everything that I was told and didn't think that I could amount to much. Right. And I kept going to it. I kept going to it. And I think there's like that trauma response.
Yeah.
You know, I kept attracting that. I kept attracting that. And that the year before I got beat up three times by three different guys. And I ended up in jail, several mental institutions because I didn't know reality anymore. you know, yeah.
Me neither.
And then, you know, it was just like, it was. I knew there was this amber in me. There was, I was always knowing that there was something better. I just didn't know how to get there.
Yeah, I really relate to that.
I didn't know how to get there, but I heard it, right? Mm-hmm. I heard that you're worth so much more than this. Mm. In fact, I got it tattooed on my neck. I have believe. That voice I heard, believe. Believe what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because my life is shit and I don't know how to unshit it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so like, but I just kept, you know, making the same mistakes, doing the same things, finding the same friends. And then finally, there was just enough was enough.
Yeah.
You know, that I showed, I think I actually went to jail. I was on probation. I got into a fight with one of my coworkers' dad that assaulted me. And the police came in with guns and they threw me in jail and gave me an assault charge.
Yeah.
And while I was in jail, right, if it's not a God shot moment, my OG jailmate that was teaching me the ways of prison, you know, was making me learn the Lord's Prayer. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to learn it, right? Like, leave me alone. I'm not going to get it. And she's like, well, but don't you think drinking's your problem? And I said, no. But like inside, it was like, yes.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yes, it was the root of like everything, you know. And then some women brought a meeting into jail, started going there and got this like vibe for life. Right. And then get out. And the first thing I do is go pour a glass of vodka on the rocks, you know, and I'm like, I'm out, though. Let's celebrate. Knowing I'm going to have to go to probation the next day. Right. And I just like, God, I'm insane. Mm. When does it stop? Right. And I think there was something else that happened. And then I ended up going, I think I Googled like, what's an alcoholic, you know, and I was like checking all the boxes. And then I went into Serenity House and picked up that white chip and had a black eye, you know, I was beaten up. I just sat on the back row and I felt safe. I felt safe. That's what kept me there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't throw myself in any type of sponsorship at that point or really make myself known to anybody.
You're just around
it. I was just around it because I also knew you were getting up to go to the bathroom to shoot dope.
Yeah.
You know, like this is bullshit.
Yeah.
And I had
dudes are outside. Everybody's wasted in here.
Yes.
This is awesome.
I've already done the 12 steps the wall before I had left. And I'm like, I'm good. Right. Like, I don't understand any of this.
Yeah.
But I kept coming back. Right. And about 6 weeks into that, I had a friend that said, do you want to go get, you know, catch a show at Swanee Park? It's a jazz thing. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm spiritually fit. I go. And the first thing I do is beeline to the bar and get a glass of red wine. But I needed this lesson, right? Because then I saw that drinking lasted all night. I'm crawling upstairs. Next day comes and all my friends decided that they were going to be responsible, but I'm still wasted. Don't know where my car's at. The place that I was staying, said, well, you're fucked up and you can't come back. Like you're not sober. And I'm like, well, that sucks. So I'm homeless, you know, and don't know where to go and what to do again. And so the best solution was the little bit of money that I had and I got my car was to go to the liquor store and get a vodka bottle, put it between my legs and go to the local motel. where my dope friends were. Mm-hmm. And that was the next 48 hours, you know? And by the grace of God, I didn't do any drugs that period. My friends that I was with I had known from school. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you're too fucked up to even like anything, and just babysat me, you know? And I apparently called my sponsor at the time. Okay, you know? And then she calls me the next day and it's like, are you ready? And at that point, I knew I was ready. Wow. I was ready to fully surrender, because I saw that the moment I put anything in my mouth that intoxicated me, as of alcohol, I was off to the races. Yeah, there was no stopping me.
You're like, okay, you're coming to terms with that. Every time I do this,
yeah,
this shit is ridiculous. It's every bananas. Single time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it scared me. You know, it really scared me, because I had, for the past year to 2 years, you know, my higher power had showed me, and because I had said it, because I had gotten some DUIs prior, and I was like, alcoholism isn't going to kill me. This is dumb.
Right.
Right. But I was shown how it was going to kill me, because yeah. I'm getting beat up. Mm. I'm in crack hotels. Right. I don't know who I'm hanging out with. I'm getting in cars, like all of these things.
It's not rocket science. I'm going to die.
I'm going to die. And yeah, yeah. I'm suicidal.
Yeah,
I've been suicidal, trying to kill myself for how many years? Take drinking bottles of pills and I'm not dying.
Wow.
You know, like God saving me by grace again, you know, but it's like, how am I going to die? Well, by my own hand. Or by someone else's hand. Mm-hmm. And am I going to continue to put myself into these positions over alcohol?
Yeah.
Right. I wasn't living, I was being driven by self-will, right? By this darkness within myself that I just didn't know how to get rid of. And I knew I was more, right? So finally surrendering in the program and saying, I'm truly done. I see it. I had to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. For my own self. And when I finally saw it, I was ready to do whatever I had to do to change my life.
Yeah.
Well, from what, like, you know, what I'm most interested in is, okay, you're working a program, but I feel like you have a unique approach that's not very common in the rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Your spiritual walk, your psychological walk, how you're dealing with your mental health and all that I wouldn't say it's like out of this world, but it's not commonly, you know, so how did you come across that part is like, this is what I'm connected to. This is how I'm going to recover. This is me, right? This works for
spirit.
Me.
I've got the tattoo. I'm bipolar.
Okay.
My mother was diagnosed schizophrenic. So it's in my bones, right? I thought by all means, my problem was because I was crazy. It wasn't alcoholism. It wasn't drug addiction. It wasn't any of that. It was, I was crazy. Right. And 2 years into the program, there was this voice that said, you're never going to feel what you're actually going through until you come off and trust, you know, and trust yourself. Right. Mm-hmm. Learning self-care, learning the things that I needed for my mental health and for my self-care to keep me balanced. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And to follow that regiment. And it's all, like we talked about, intuitiveness. Like, how does that work? I have always been this way. There's always been something that has dropped notes into me.
It's like a spiritual gift of yours.
Yes,
right?
that there's this seer, right? This guidance that I have that's like, oh, try this. Do this. You know this, you know? And it's just something that I've been gifted with. And I do look at the program. And in the program, knowing coming into it that I am not of the program, like it's not me. I'm here for a mission. I'm here for a reason. I experienced all of this to get here,
right,
to bring a message to the recovery, right? To bring a message to our community, right? That it is a spiritual program, and to look at it through spiritual eyes. Who brought it were two spiritual men, right? Two messengers, right? That had the aha. Right. We need to bring this system to collective to relieve suffering of not just alcoholism, drug addiction, but it could be food, it could be sex, it could be life,
all
it
that
could
stuff,
be thinking.
Everything.
It could be anything, right? If we take out the compounds and the confines of what we have labeled it as. They are spiritual tools out of suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All suffering. and yeah. teach you how to be a spiritual being, right? And looking at our steps, there's, and especially in this day and age, there's spiritual decoding everywhere. Like, are we seeing it? The numbers and the thoughts and the music and all of this stuff. And it's in the steps. Mm-hmm. Bring the 11 up to the 1 and you have a 111. That's higher consciousness. This is consciousness mm-hmm. coming through. Are we applying it at step 1?
Right.
At step 1. Are we getting quiet, tapping in, and expanding?
Yeah. So you had these notes yeah. or downloads prior to getting sober. So what was that like? How were you interacting with it before recovery?
Well, it got me out of really weird situations yeah. sometimes, but also like didn't understand it.
It's kind of like all over you. Like, you really, know, you can't hone in on it.
I couldn't hone in on yeah. it. I didn't quite understand what it was. I knew it was something. I remember it helped to identify. Like,
do you remember having it before you sought drugs or alcohol?
Yes. I didn't identify when it started until I got sober. Reflecting back on my journey, we talk about things that happen that are really horrible, right? And how do we find a different perspective of why it happened? I saw my brother hanging from a swing set when I was 2 years old, you know, traumatic, right? Life altering.
Mm-hmm.
But as I looked back, what was it for me? Mm-hmm. It was to show me that I could hear him, that I was connected to the other side. That I was receiving messages and guided, right, from a baby, and it was a journey that moved forward through that. And how did it shift?
But in your addiction, you know something, but you don't really know.
Something bad was about to happen.
Yeah, you get that intuition, right? Yeah, yeah.
A song would come on, and it just would ding me in such a way that I knew I had to run. In my addiction, I used it to survive. I would go into a room and I could have an imprint of what happened in the room, right? Things of that nature. Did I always listen to it? Not necessarily, but a lot of times it was for survival.
I've came across so many people that have that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've got from that is I don't have that. Because I believe that, like, yeah. like I've seen them live their lives and just have these, like, these, you know, these moments where, you know, a warning would come, or they would just know how to act in certain situations, almost sort of like predicting a scene or something like that. And they would tell me these things that would blow my mind. And I'm like, damn, dude, that ain't me, man. But that's cool that you got that. Mm-hmm. But that's just not me.
Like, we've interviewed a few people here on the show that have that. And from what I gather, it kind of like puts you on unsolid ground until you know what it was.
I'm in the ethers all the time.
Yeah. But I mean, now that you, and that, so that's like, I want to get to like what you're doing with that now and how you learn. But I'm saying, like, early in childhood or in, you know, it's
in childhood, I was not liked because I knew what was going to happen. Like, if something was moved in the room, I would immediately start asking questions. I also, my energy is, I would say would bring out your shadow, would be what I say is a dark goddess.
Yeah,
so I work with the underworld. I work with your true self, right? So I can help you
see. That's scary, man. Saying that.
Help you see.
Freaks me out.
Right, your shadow.
I was telling somebody, I'm like, hold on. I'm like, yes.
Well, excuse me?
That's
excuse me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, don't make eye contact with Paige when she gets
you
here.
You know everything now.
Yeah, my family didn't like me around because I was talking about the hard stuff. Right. Yeah. And they didn't like that.
Oh, yeah. I could see that being really like,
yeah,
you know, something like, oh, you're going to bring this shit up.
Yeah.
Like,
but damn. How so then really do you get
feeling?
Yeah. Right. You know? And they're like, oh, God, here's Paige again. You know?
So there's that.
Not welcome at parties. Yeah. You know?
So there's that conditioning early on that begins to condition you that, oh, you can't be your authentic self.
Right.
You can't show up as who you are.
Right.
You can't say what's on your mind.
Yes.
And so
There's a lot of
You begin to retreat inward and...
Yes. Yeah. A lot. I found that I had a lot of I call it spiritual narcissism.
Oh.
You know,
explain where, that. What is that?
Where I know your truth. I say what you're going to... What you're thinking, right? And they're like, no. But it's resonating on such a level with me that I know that it's the truth, but you're telling me it's not.
So, like, you're spending a lot of time calling people out.
Well, I try.
And that's like, I mean,
but
right?
But, like, not to, yes, today, yeah. Like, in my practice, that's why I'm paid for that, right? Because we're
but
not.
But your delivery is probably a lot different now. It's a lot different than today. It was then.
Right. And my and the lessons are different. The lessons back then, yeah. Right? And it pushed it down. Right. It made me think that maybe I'm just crazy. Mm-hmm. Maybe this isn't right. So it's been this journey of really self-discovery and empowerment and trusting my gifts. And I'm still every day learning to trust my gifts and trusting my intuition and trusting myself.
Sure. Because, I mean, 100%, you're not 100%, right? I mean, there's times you've got it wrong,
always,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. There always is.
Yeah. So that can put you in a... shit, you know, am I doing this?
Especially in a world that, you know, women like me were murdered, right?
Heck yeah,
we were
man.
Hung, you know, because we were connected in and we had these hypersensitive of feelings and empowerment and knowledge, right? And we were killed off. So being that we're not too far from that 100 years ago,
Salem,
you know, it, depending on, you know, the terms that we use, there's always been spiritual women or spiritual men, right? That were healers or seers or prophets and things of that nature. But they were always pretty much shunned, you know? So it takes a lot in this world to really get your feet grounded and trust thyself, right? And then have this expectation or these like trying to prove yourself to other people. But I think it's the journey of really just trusting thyself. And today I still, I amaze myself, you know, like, wow, really happened. That confirmation, like, this is crazy, you know, and having dreams and knowing that this is like, I'm bringing things in from the spirit realm. And it is completely fascinating every day.
No, I think that's amazing to be able to, you know, use that gift in a therapeutic way to help others because, you know, me, right. I'm like, you know, I could easily say, oh, she's going to expose me. Yeah. Or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, damn, like that would be my
Well, that would be the point why I would go to sit with you, right? Would be show me what I can't see, right? Or confirm to me what I've been seeing, right? Because sometimes you need that person to kind of reveal that.
Well, for me, it's like, damn, you know, like,
well, you're the avoider
side of me that I don't want nobody to see.
Because,
Well, that's where Reiki comes in. And it's such a beautiful practice because I can hold the space. I have the energy. I'm holding the space, right? I'm giving that energy of bringing forth the parts of you that you're hiding, right? Primal energy, creator energy, life force energy that I'm channeling goes to you, brings it up. You see it. I don't have to tell you, right? You will see it. Creator will show you. And then you have a choice after that session to either start integrating it, using your throat chakra to release it, right? Make more room for light, or continue to live in the suffering.
So what does that, do you mind if I ask another question? I know you had stuff for you. Do you mind if I ask one real quick? What is like what does the practice, like what does it look like when I go and visit you and you're showing me how to like expose these parts of myself that I'm hiding? Like, is it talking? Is there like, because I don't know anything about that. Is there like incense around? Or, you know, I don't know. I'm saying that in a totally innocent way. Like,
yes,
is there
yes.
rocks? You know, I've seen people put rocks on you and all that kind of stuff. Is like, is that all part of the actual practice in session with me as we're like, as you're showing me, you know?
Right. So a typical session with me is you'd come in, you'd fill out a form, and probably immediately you get really thirsty, and then you might start crying because you're holding so much.
Oh, wait a minute. I was buying that for a second. I was like, what, for real? I'm going to break down, right? As I'm putting my name down?
Yes, it happens. It really, really does. That's how powerful Reiki energy is.
Oh, like you're being serious. So when I go in there.
Just sitting here. Yeah. Yeah. Because you're, it's again like going to the podium and picking up a white chip. You have spirit and your higher power. Everything knows that you're coming in for a healing session.
Right.
So your ritual, your preparation, right? Your intention, you're opening yourself up to receive, right? And allowing the medicine to go and relieve what you need, right? So just coming in.
So coming in, you're already
in that practice. Kind of like doing some other type of things that we've talked about, preparing for journeys and things of that nature. It's all a ritual, right? Like what we're going to do, what's going to happen, the time, we're prepping ourselves for this, right? And what are we thinking about our intention? So we get there and I just kind of ask, what's your intention for today? What is it that we're asking? And typically we start just talking, right? Sometimes you hold it, right? That's all depending on if you truly want to recover. If you truly want to move past what you're holding, there's a place of, are you going to be honest? Wow. Right? We always have a choice, right? Yeah. I can feel through it. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to be on blast, right? But I know what I'm working with, right? I know what I'm working with. And then we get on the table and just depending on, where I'm feeling, maybe the music is where I really kind of feel into what might help you to open a little bit more and settle into the space. And you lay on what you would say is a massage table.
Mm-hmm.
And you just lay there. It's like a meditation practice. And I just ask you to hold your intention and try to go into a meditative state, being calm. If you find your mind racing, find a mantra, which is maybe love, I release control, and just be open to receive. Don't have expectations of what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just be. Right.
I love it.
You don't. It's just like turning on your light. Right. We know that if we flip a switch, we're going to get electricity. We're going to get a light bulb. It's energy. Everything is energy. There is a current always running. Right. I channel that current into you. Right. And it goes and it acts just the way it wants to in you. It's electricity. It's energy. But when
I'm
we
so go, open to that process, yeah.
And when you talk about intention,
I want to experience that
intention. Our mind is very powerful, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're holding the intention of release, love, clarity, strength. So we typically get that, right? We get what we need.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't get exactly what we need the first time, there's a reason. We have to always be curious. Right. And then after a session, you lay there and you're in shock and we talk about what happened and you're like, wow, I might pull a little card and it's a kind of a confirmation about maybe what we've talked about. And then we go from there and I talk about you need to drink lots of water. It's like a massage, physical massage, but it's an energetic massage. You might find yourself going to the bathroom. You might be on this real like energetic spiritual high for the next 3 days and then crash. And then what do we do when we crash? We need to integrate. We need to talk. We need to figure out what's going on and what we're seeing. And that's basically what a Reiki session looks like up to 48 hours after. But it's very powerful. And then you can also start becoming more clear of seeing how the universe is setting you up or sending experiences to help you with your intention. You become in this universe. You
start becoming in tune.
More in tune.
Noticing
things.
Things are being revealed.
Yes. Kind of like when you pick up your white chip and you're at like your amends and you're like in, I was in Dahlonega and I was a person that I needed to make an amends to. Here she is. And I'm like, I see you. Right.
Yeah.
Like you start.
It's like giving more than a coincidence to that.
Right.
Experience.
You start realizing you are in this universal flowing game. Yeah.
Now, where does Reiki originate from?
Japan. Master Usui. I've got facts. I had to write the facts down.
Yeah.
Because I'm not good with facts. I'm good with universal crap, I don't remember facts of the 3D realm. So the facts of Reiki, where did it come from? It was developed in 1922 by Dr. Usui. He was trying to find an alternative healing method during the flu epidemic. And what he did was, my story that I heard when I was going through my Reiki master was, he was looking for spiritual enlightenment. And he went to this temple and he wasn't getting it. And there's stories that said he went up to the mountain to try to kill himself. There's stories that he just went up there to try to get spiritual enlightenment. Mm-hmm. Went up there and was meditating and had this download of the Reiki symbols and started to apply Reiki healing to himself. And I think everybody does it. I just don't think people realize that they're doing it. When you hurt yourself, right? What do? Ow.
Rub it,
right? Yeah. It's a natural thing. So we all can do Reiki, right? Typically, if you're not trained and attuned, it's not the best because right. You're using your life force energy.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're
untrained.
Yeah, yeah. When you're a practitioner, you've been attuned into this practice and therefore attuned with primal energy and you're channeling life force energy versus your own life force energy. If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because we all have life force energy.
I get that. Yeah.
But a Reiki master, a Reiki practitioner is in alignment with it. It's a channel.
Right.
Right?
So it came from the 20s. That's I thought it would have been a little like more ancient than that.
No.
Yeah.
I thought it was not even, I didn't know if it was, I thought it was something that was from India or something like that.
Yeah, no. It started with him, but he was the first one to bring it. But Jesus, right, and many others were healers. They laid hands. Each culture talks about hand being placed upon you, right? So it's not anything new. It's just this was the person who brought it in and someone put a patent on it and started teaching it, right? But this has been happening since the day we began, right? We've all
just wasn't called it.
It's been called multi different things, right? So it's been on the planet, and it is a form of healing and offered. So, but it's always been here.
So, when did you get first exposed to it, and how did you like?
Oh, this is crazy. Okay, so. How did I first get introduced to it? My mother.
Yeah.
My mother, which freaked me the fuck out because she wasn't doing it taught by Master Usui. She was doing it because she was speaking in tongues and laying hands on me and healing me.
Oh, and she's like Pentecostal type
Christian.
Of deal?
Christian. Yeah. I could go into stories about my things that have happened to me. But ultimately I say this, that I was born into a very spiritual family that was very confused. You know, they were trying to do and teach, I guess, but, it freaked me out.
That makes sense to me because you got it. Mom probably got some of the same stuff.
She
just
was
doing in a different type, you know,
yeah.
Trying to figure it out.
I guess, all of the women
think they figured out. Yeah.
It was very Christian, radical Christian, I would say. Yeah.
It's my kind of Christian, though.
You know, my aunt would run. There was always talk about spiritual realm. There was always talked about the dark realm. We were always protecting. We were always doing things, you know. There was always prayer. There was always hands being laid upon you, you know. At that time, it really just freaked me out. And I was I want no part of this fucking circus.
So was this post-recovery that you were exposed to it?
This
or?
Was pre-
Pre, okay.
Pre-recovery. Okay. Getting sober, and what's funny is, you know, how Reiki presented itself to me was after some plant medicine experiences that I've had where, you know, I had this call, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so what is this? Well, let me go do it, right? And found my Reiki master and how she explained it to me was the spiritual gifts that I already had. I didn't know how to really explain it, but you having the Reiki title gave me the container to hold my magic. Mm. Right. Okay. And to hold the knowledge, and the energy, that I had already been pre-exposed to. Mm-hmm. I just now had the direction. And, during my attunement, my Reiki master says, okay.
So what's the attunement?
Attunement.
Okay.
So with attunement is this like initiation,
okay.
right? My master saying, okay, now you finished. This is, we're bringing universally bringing you into this universal realm, energetic realm with the unseen and all the things, right? And now you're ready to be attuned and become this person. Whoa. And
I bet you that's a hell of a...
It's really not that. It sounds...
Oh, it's not that big? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I've seen it. My images yes. sound totally different.
Yes, there's all right.
and David's got a clearing in the forest yes. with a giant fire and
yes. back in the day,
animal skulls. Yes, he's yes, got some things going
right,
on in his
yes,
head.
Back yes. in the day, it probably was, you know. I'm very, very ritualistic. But it is very ritualistic.
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
is, honestly. It wasn't in this particular space, but if you look at it on a spiritual space or the unseen
sure,
space,
it's it like was, you achieved it. Right, you got there's, something big here.
There's a lot. And she's, you know, doing the symbols and speaking these symbols into me, and I'm freaking out. She sounded like my mother.
Whoa.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, so it took me a minute to be like, okay, so this is not her. It's not my mom.
Yeah,
right.
Talk yourself off
I really
of that.
Did. There was trauma there.
Whoa.
There was trauma there. And I, but at that moment also realized that I had already been trained for what I needed to be.
Mm.
And me being on this experience or this 3D realm was not by mistake, that there was a reason, and everything that happened on my journey was for a reason.
Wow.
And I'm still, you know, I'm still stepping into that purpose mm-hmm. and unfolding. Yeah.
It's intense, man. Vocally hearing that, it was like, what a shock. Like, what the? You know, but yeah. to keep it moving through
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah.
So did you have a Reiki session yourself, and then that called you into the work, or did you go right into
being
a practitioner?
I went right into it.
Okay.
And I'm currently in the process of working on my becoming a master as well. Like, I'm already a universal master.
But okay. Sorry, a universal
yeah,
master.
Yeah, no.
What's next? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, that's awesome, though.
Right.
Just to say that I'm a universal master, but a couple more months.
I definitely have done this journey before. I have definitely been a spiritual leader in a past life.
Wow.
I think on my ascension on this journey here, on this collective realm, on this 3D realm, I have come to bring my ancient knowledge, yeah. right?
And I mean, how do you see it though? Like, how is this like, okay, you're like, how do you see that? Like,
I was this in my,
do you visualize it, or is it like a third eye? What is that?
It's a knowing. And funny things have popped up on my path too. Like, that is like, what the fuck was that? You know, like, I was at a metaphysical store, and there was this little reading that was happening, and everybody had their own little kitty cat and puppy dog thing. And then they look at me and they're like, you're not from here.
Wow.
And kept moving. You know, or I'm in, you know, different spiritual communities and people go, you're the mother, you know, just like really weird mm-hmm. things that I don't think happen to most people
sure.
that make you go like, huh, maybe my knowing from a young age that I'm not from here and that I have right. a bigger purpose.
Yeah, because you have known it for so long.
I've known it.
Since too, right?
I've known it. And it came more into alignment when I got sober
that
my purpose, you know, was to bring healing. Bring healing. And I also like to say that my suffering and my path has been the shaman's path. I've had many deaths, you know, many deaths to be able to hold the sacred medicine, to bring relief of suffering or an avenue.
Oh, you've so much
so
repeatedly
much suffering.
That
yeah.
now I can be a healer.
I can hold that space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hold that
That's
space.
So intense, man. Jeez. It is, seriously.
Yeah, the past life thing is always interesting to me
mm-hmm.
because who is the I that continues on, right? Like, because it's not this I that you
it's
are
your
here.
Soul. Your energy never dies.
Right, well, I get that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, scientifically, like, energy doesn't die,
mm-hmm.
right? But who is the I, right? Like, there is a consciousness, right? Mm-hmm. And... like, is it just a specific energy, frequency, vibration that kind of comes back, you know? But there's, like, that's the piece. Like, I haven't been called to really dive into it too much, but every time someone brings in this past life thing, that's the piece that I get it, like, metaphorically,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not resistant to it. But the thing that always goes, the thing in my head always goes, then who is the I that keeps coming back? Because, and what's that container in?
You mean what is the consciousness that keeps reappearing, repeating?
Then that makes me go, well, then what's the consciousness?
Yeah, yeah.
And then if consciousness is individual, then there's also a collective conscious.
Yeah, yeah.
Then how does this just one individual consciousness gets repurposed? And so there's a lot of questions there. You know, like,
I don't think it gets repurposed. There's so many things I can say about this.
Say it. Let's go.
Let's talk about it. Because for you, it's almost like you're living out one purpose over and
right
over
now
again.
For this
it got
mission.
You. It got you to here.
Right.
Right.
But I believe that I've had a lot of different experiences that didn't fully play out the way it should have, right? And then I'd come back and try it again. Mm. And then ultimately get to a point where I achieved it. I mastered this lesson,
mm-hmm.
right? And maybe it was, you know, whatever our soul decided. And also you look at the fact that we are a spark of the divine. There's one consciousness. We are one of all. So it's we're breaking off of consciousness of the divine
mm-hmm.
that's having multi-different experiences all simultaneously at the same time.
Right. It's just God experiencing
itself.
It's a
God experience itself, right? Yeah. But we are God, right?
Right.
So we are the creators of our world. And this experience, this soul has had one particular thing that
they
want.
So let me just pause
master.
Right there yeah. for my our Christian listeners. This, we are God. I just want to tell you how this is not far off from Christian theology and scripture. Because in Christianity, there's this thing called the Trinity. The mm-hmm. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And post Christ's ascension, there was a thing called the Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And in Pentecost, the believers
the
received
Spirit,
the Spirit.
Everybody mm-hmm. all
the Spirit mm-hmm. became the indwelling inside mm-hmm. the body.
Right.
Right. So this we are God, this what you just broke down, is not.
We would say God is in us.
It's a different way of saying it, but I'm just saying it's not far off from what Christianity would actually believe.
So let's look at that, because I, you know, from what I understand, you know, Jesus was a mystic. He didn't like the church. He broke down the churches, right? He was on foot going around talking about creator, talking about connecting in. I am the Son.
Yeah.
You were like me, right? So we are as of Jesus. We are DNA of that type of person, mm-hmm. right? So he was God, so therefore we are God in this human existence.
Right.
We are of Jesus, right? We are all of this consciousness, right?
So we're kind of talking semantics a little bit, aren't we?
Yeah, so, and you know, we are a spark of the divine just, and the difference between
that's
where
scary,
we are.
That's scary though,
no,
right?
But where
because
we are,
if you have God in you,
right.
then what you doing at the crack house?
Well, because we have
free will.
You know
what I mean?
We have free will,
you know, like,
right?
But it's scary to receive.
Yeah.
But
that's the duality. Do you want to go to heaven or hell?
Right.
Right. You have a choice every step of the way.
Yeah.
What are you creating?
Yeah.
You are that powerful.
Yeah.
Right. By your
that's,
thoughts
but
and
that,
your actions.
I guess does that. I guess that is, I don't want to. I don't know. Separates because even though I feel God is in me, but I mm-hmm. still feel like I am a man of my own choices and my own mm-hmm. decisions and my own will.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me.
But will you
know
align
I mean?
It with something higher than yourself?
Yeah, no,
it becomes
that,
one.
Absolutely. Like I surrender
right.
my will to, but it's still, I don't know. Maybe it's just because of the way it's said or something like that. Or maybe it's to say I am God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. It's a, well, that's what I'm saying.
What
like
I'm saying?
That it's, but I'm telling you that theologically from a Christian perspective,
mm-hmm. right.
that is not inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's
we
very
embody
accurate.
The
Father and I
creator.
Are one, is
yeah.
what Jesus says, mm-hmm. right?
Right?
And Jesus is the archetype. He's the second Adam, Paul says. The Apostle Paul says Jesus is the second Adam. He's resetting the whole
mm-hmm.
thing, right? Or the example of what's being reset or what's been reset, right?
But what I'm saying, though, what am I doing at the crack house?
Yes, that you
there
need to be at the Reiki
house. There is a separation of things. And there is like a...
Yes.
There
separation,
is a separation
is the illusion because it's perception is kind of the thing, right? So if I perceive myself as separate from God, then I will act and behave and live as I am separate from God, right? So being saved or born again is coming to the realization that I am not separate nor have I ever been separate.
Mm.
That's the profound mission of Christianity that's lost. when someone says something like, we are God, right? Which I think is probably even more accurate than I am God. We are God. Mm-hmm. You know, like on Easter Sunday, somebody texted me, he has risen. And I responded, we have risen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because right. that's really the miracle. The miracle is not that one man rose. It's that we have all rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. And that we all get a chance to live in this thing. So,
and we could be just as entuned, right? If we yeah. look at what the teachings of this great master, this teacher that was on this plane that taught us, right, was that to go within, to trust, to mm-hmm. believe, to yeah. love, right, yeah. be compassionate,
to accept, to surrender.
Accept, yeah. right?
Yeah.
And that you are my brother and sister. You mm-hmm. are like me and of me, right? Mm-hmm. And there is no separation. So trust and be empowered, right? And right. I think a lot of where we're at today is there's a lot of disempowerment, right? And we're afraid to say that I am just as powerful, right? Mm-hmm. There's this disconnect yeah. when yeah. we have to bring it back to the fact that we are the I am. We're a part of the I am.
And that's the thing, like, for me personally, the problem with owning power, and this is what you said about the anger, right, is I have historically only associated with my power being my capacity for physical violence as a man, maybe, or just as a jacked up dude, you know, like that's to me, that's what owning my power is, because what I learned was taught was yelling got the job done.
We yeah. have to relearn to be a divine yeah. masculine.
Right.
What does yeah. the divine masculine I love that look word. Like? Yeah. Right. What is the divine?
What is that?
What is the divine masculine and the divine feminine?
Is it divine masculine?
Programming.
Yes.
Right. That's yeah. all programming.
Yeah.
So can we take a step back from that?
Right.
Right. And be authentically who you are as yeah. a man.
Right.
Like you were 12 years old. Right. Like yeah. you didn't have to fight. You know, you didn't have a point to prove. Uh-huh. You know, you didn't have to puff your chest.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have to show them what kind of truck you had, or you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It really didn't matter.
Yeah. Right.
Right. You were walking up and hugging your brother. Right. right. Let's, you know, maybe throw a punch or whatever and get over it. Like yeah. there was nothing to prove. But our society has gotten masculinity sick.
Well,
like,
and
overtly masculine,
because we have no male initiation rights.
A lot of the men have. Right. There's a lot of stuff coming back, though. Men's retreats, masculine retreats that are yeah. breaking away that programming, yeah. breaking away mm-hmm. that story.
Other than that, know? American rite of passage is how much can you drink and right. not get in a wreck? And how right. many girls can you or people right. can you sleep with?
Well, look at the music. Look yeah. at our programming. Right. Look at our yeah. dads. Right. Yeah. Like that's been our cultural programming.
Yeah. So right? devoid of any kind right. of actual initiation. Culture initiates us in its way.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's where we get kind of all.
Right. But we have a choice every day to, are we going to show up to that behavior or do something different?
Yeah, right.
Are we going to be honest with ourselves so that it no longer resonates with me as a masculine just because I cry or get down my knees or open the door for my wife or say I'm sorry or let her win or let my buddy win? Mm. It doesn't make me less of a man.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When do we show up to that? You have a choice every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing with those choices?
How
are you doing?
You know, with those it's
choices?
Hard.
I haven't physically assaulted anyone in a long time.
It's hard, you know, but it takes work, right?
So it does. It definitely takes work,
and it yeah. takes identifying and being honest to what your programming is. And yeah. what no longer resonates with you. And that's all a part of, you know, your healing journey, right? And breaking free of your ancestral trauma, your like all the things, right? Like,
and these are all things that you, the work that you're doing will begin to address.
Yes, I help with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I help with that.
Let's talk about this. And then we're this is going great, by the way.
This is so cool.
If you're
cool.
still listening Seriously. To this yeah. point.
So I'm so ignorant of like everything that he put down as questions. I don't know none of that. None of that stuff. I'm going to sit here and listen to that.
Intuitive guidance.
Yes.
And, okay, we talked about that. You've always had that ability, and you've begun to hone it. Now, here's this question. This is more my own question. How can you tell intuition from your own thoughts? How do you know you're not tricking the wisdom with your own agenda?
Okay. I think I touched on it a little bit earlier regarding it pops in, right? Okay. If there's this, but,
cause I got a lot of shit pops in.
I know. And that's where the butt comes in, right? Like, and taking time to get quiet, right? We have to start allowing your computer, which is your brain, to start downloading, right? Letting go of all of the loops.
Is this a 7 to 9 for you?
This is 7 to 9 for me. Yes. You know, now, I mean, it's there's different things that I conquer at 7 to 9 and even in the evenings and throughout the day, but I still look at and feel through, a lot of times feel through situations and see how it feels. Right. And I think that's the key. Right. Because I think our program tells you your initial thought's wrong. Most of the time it probably is if we haven't trained our mind and our body. Right. Especially getting sober and new into recovery. Right. Like there's some things that you probably don't want to react on. But after some time of getting quiet, letting your mind calm down and learning to maneuver through your feelings. Right. How does it feel? Like, feel through it, right? Sit with it, the pause, right? Like, pause, how does it feel? Does it feel good or does it feel bad, right? I think that's the good indicator. Over time, you start to understand and trust yourself, right? To where that you can get an intuitive thought. It pops in and you react, right? There's an action. If you find yourself having a thought and a loop, it's a loop. Right. It's not intuitive. It's not a suggestion from spirit or creator, right? And it's probably, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then intuitiveness is like the light bulb just came on, you know?
So you're like, are you lining up like being intuitive by doing God's will? Is that like the same?
I would say using your intuitiveness, either yes, there it's coming. I mean, I could say so many things about it, but we could say yes.
Okay.
God's will or your higher or your self. Own,
yeah, your higher self.
Higher self or your spirit guides or your angels.
But if you're not doing that, you're being guided by your ego. And like,
there could be guided by your... Well, I mean, let's talk about ego versus like light and dark. If you're being driven by ego, that's self-will, right? Are you coming from a place of self-driven will?
Right.
Or is it coming from love? Right? Is it coming from open-heartedness? Is it coming from compassion? Is it coming from service? Right? What is the difference between the two? Right? So I think that's a good gauge you know, is this coming from my heart?
Right?
Right? Is this pure intentions? Or is it somehow I'm looking to gain something?
But what if it's a little bit of both? You know, because it's not really all black and white.
You're not going to be perfect, right? Yeah, yeah. But I think being in the awareness, right? To being in the awareness that you can either choose.
Yeah, if you're in awareness, you kind of like can push the gauge over to what it should be.
Yeah.
You know what's helped me a lot in that is like the codependency work. Because the codependency work talks a lot about you're not always going to get it right.
No.
And maybe you're going to go too far, overcorrect.
Right.
That's okay.
Right.
You'll do it. Try it again next time. And because that's like, admittedly, like where my issue is I have no problem with the intuition. Like it's always there. The problem is like I get it from so many different angles.
Right.
And so, it's done to me where it's like, you know, and I'll be on this ride, and then I come up from it and I go, wait a minute. That was not, you know, and so like, it's difficult, and maybe it's because I'm a creative, so I'm always having thoughts or always.
Ooh, a creative, an artist is always in tune to creation and to creator.
Yeah,
maybe that's your primal energy.
Whoa. Oh yeah, no, it definitely is.
I love the way you word stuff,
but it's a problem.
I love the way you put it together. No, I really do.
But it's a problem because it's always coming from every angle. Because every angle is a possibility as a creative, right?
But that is true.
Because there is no wrong angle. Because I could mess it up, and then I. You ever watch David Cho paint? You know, and he paints something, and then he paints over it, and then he just destroys it. Yes, and then he paints over it.
Different
think
over
of Bob Ross. There's never any mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
So I mean, that's probably where my question of how are you discerning, you know, the intuition, and so it sounds like what you're saying is by spending time.
Right. And feeling through it.
Feeling through it, making some mistakes. Mm-hmm. And you and
always
then,
have to make mistakes.
Sure. Yeah.
Life is never, and if you look at life, like we think that we come, and I like to talk about, you know, indigenous beliefs and traditions and journeys and all of these things, that there's not one set path. It's a spiral. Yeah. It's ever changing, never wrong.
Yeah.
It just means it's going to be a different lesson, right? And so kind of what you're seeing, it's a web, like, you know, and the seed of life, right? It grows, it webs out, right? Yeah. That's your journey, right? Yeah. There's, it's just a matter of, are you able to see the different lessons on your web? Right? Just, how is it going to help you?
I just wonder where, like, you know, like everything you're saying makes total sense to me, you know? And it's just interesting to me. Like the question I'm asking myself is like, how did we get it so screwed up? You know what I'm saying? Like, how does it get so far away from, like, you know, everything you're explaining is so spiritually in tune, and it's like there's no denying like the personal, spiritual, community growth in that thought process, being in tune. I mean, don't you want to be with God or be mm-hmm. God or like have the understanding that you are of God? Mm-hmm. How does it go so the other way? And I don't care, like Western culture. I know people are like, oh, no, man, the Buddha's in the temple in India. Like, no, I'm talking like universally, mm-hmm. everywhere. I don't think it's a cultural thing. I don't buy into like, well, but there's this tribe in Africa that like, no. Like, well, we are just so far away from that type of thinking that makes such total sense.
Well, I think the indigenous tribes, the Indians, and a lot of other cultures see God in everything, mm-hmm. right? Not just in the sky, right? Yeah. God is in the birds. God is in the plant. God is in the ground. God is in you. God is in the wall. God is in the sky. God mm-hmm. is in the water. God is in the land. God is everything, if nothing
all of that's all. In the Christian scripture, you know? Just letting you know.
Yeah. So, you know, God is everywhere. And if we are in the midst of this God everywhere, right, we can be a part of it. So we stop detaching.
But people don't want to be a part of it. Right. And that's the question. I mean, why don't you want to be a part of it?
It's magical. Yeah, like, you see God. People are like, well, God's not answering my prayers. God's right there next to you, maybe sending you a bird,
right?
Sending you a message to from your friend.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, there's messages everywhere happening for you all at that same time.
I understand.
Or a book, like you read a book, right? Yeah. Like, it just, how is these messages coming through to you in your world?
Yeah. Well, I mean, talking about the indigenous people, like, and we can really go into like how bad that whole thing went with Native Americans, right? But it's like, I mean, I dig that. Like, God is everywhere. God is, you know, God is all. I'm with that, you know. But if it was taught to me generations after generation mm-hmm. where this is such a belief system, and I know like what happened, but these people with this understanding, like traditionally given to them, mm-hmm. are like, you know, a very suffering mm-hmm. bad suffering group of people in this world right now that, you know, turn to alcohol deeply with this understanding.
But
you know what I mean?
Because they were so ingrained in different forms of life, and then you take their life from them, mm-hmm. right? You take their means from them. You know, it does create suffering. Mm-hmm. You know, and then people lose hope.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I get it. You get it. Right.
I get it. Yeah.
For sure. So we don't understand. Right. We just hope that. And I believe their recovery program. In fact, we've been they have a twice a year. The Indian recovery house or recovery community has a weekend up in Cherokee where you camp, and they have tribal drumming and they have all of this stuff. So they are definitely bringing, you know, recovery into their,
that's really cool,
into their community. But if we were able to look at the suffering and why we ripped a lot away from them, mm-hmm. you know, their, the things that they thrived, to live. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's understand that.
Yeah.
You know, even it doesn't matter how much they have been taught.
Right. How much it
suffering, pain is pain, and we all want relief. You know, and but they also have sacred ceremonies, right, where they can use peyote and they can go in and they can go back into consciousness and do all of this stuff and get reconnected. Right, so, you know, they have their own forms of medicine and healing.
Well, I just love that there's people that like you that can like really navigate that whole area of existence. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And really make sense of like, you know, that realm of things.
Right.
You know what I mean? That spiritual realm.
Did you just take us down a trail of tears right now, David? What the fuck?
I think I did. I think I really did.
You know that? Like,
fight no more.
The hell? Yeah. We got Sacagawea in this motherfucker. No more. You we know, have digressed.
Understanding and seeing the world from a spiritual lens, you know, it's, yeah.
Sorry.
I didn't know why I went there, but I was just listening and I was just.
But I think that's, if you're asking that question, yeah. I think that's good for you to look at,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just
maybe a trip to Montana, brother.
Yeah. Well, it's just fascinating.
You
know what I mean?
You got to go to their land, bro.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
when you drive and you see it, bro, and yeah. you and then you and you talk, bro. Yeah,
it's super sacred, you know. And we have forgot about the sacredness of medicine, plant medicine, mm-hmm. and the healing that the consciousness mm-hmm. of that molecule, of that knowledge, and what it does to our human body.
Well,
and
it's
our,
they're living with nature.
They are a
they're
part
not
of
conquering
it.
Nature.
No. Yeah, no, no, no.
They're trying to keep it alive.
Immersed yeah. in it.
Well, because right. there's balance.
Yes.
They know the balance, right? We can only take so much, right?
Right.
But and until we take it all, right? And then it crashes. So they're in this constant flow of give and take, right? And it's sacred. Everything is super sacred. And I think we have a society has lost everything that is sacred.
Nothing is sacred.
Nobody even thinks that their body's sacred anymore. Mm. You know, the way we speak is sacred. Every time we use our voice, it's sacred, sacred noise. It's either we're casting a blessing or a spell on somebody.
Right.
You know, how are we thinking? Right? Are we creating chaos or heaven? Right? Like everything about us is a sacred temple standing in this 3D realm.
Yeah.
And what is our energy giving off to this realm and this existence and consciousness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautifully said. So last question.
She gives it up really good.
Which is
really good.
Why? Good stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I knew it. As soon as we started talking on the phone, I was like, oh, this is going to be dope. Why do you think people don't, they skip meditation, right? Because it's the 11th step, right? Prayer and meditation.
Yes, prayer and meditation.
And then and people, you know, why do you think, first off, we can agree people skip meditation.
I skip it.
Yeah, I started, you know.
And I like it, but it's hard for some reason.
Yeah, well, I started it in recovery. I had a space in the recovery house where I focused for years, about 5 years, and so much backlash. What I was heard, that's not AA, right?
Meditation's not?
Yeah.
It's in the literature, though. That's weird.
Right. that, you know, it's, we're doing voodoo, we're doing witchcraft, and that.
Yeah, so what?
You know, we are like everybody associated with you needed to be doing mushrooms or LSD. There's all of these false stories of what meditation is, right? So if we think of meditation when it kind of started was the 60s. Everyone's eating mushrooms and like meditating and spiritual gurus, right? Mm. Then you have, you know, this whole like also, you know, metaphysical phase where if you're doing it in the, you know, the religious standpoint, that mm-hmm. that's not of God, you know? Mm. So there's a lot of different reasons. Also, the simple fact that people just don't want to look at themselves. People don't want to sit with their thoughts.
Try to get the process of getting to that part.
I think you're touching on a lot of different levels, but I think you're also kind of getting down to the fundamental, which is it's the one thing, like prayer, you know, Dr. Charles Stanley used to say, God rest his soul.
God rest his soul. He used to say,
if you praying, going 70 miles an hour down the freeway, I'm sorry, that's not praying. Which I love that he says that because he's saying, focus. Don't count that. This is a sacred thing. Yeah. It needs to be done with intention, right? Not to say you can't go pray while you're driving, but don't count that as your spiritual practice. No.
And a lot of times people are. They're pulling out a book and they're reading a meditation book and they're saying, that's my meditation. Or, you know, they're just giving themselves about 5 minutes, right? But really sitting with the practice of meditation. A lot of times what I'm hearing is I cannot quiet my mind.
Yeah.
I give up.
My first time I tried to meditate, and I've shared this before on the show, I had a panic attack.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I don't think this is how meditation works.
I can see how that can bring a trauma response or something.
Oh, yeah. It freaked me out.
Yeah.
So I had to start walking meditations.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. So it's like interpretation, right?
Well,
what is it? Like,
but I'm just saying that
your eyes open, it's a state of mind.
But I'm saying that I had to start with walking.
Yeah.
But to me, meditation is when I close off all those influences, all that data,
regardless of what it looks like.
There's so many different ways to do it. So people get over, like, I'm doing it wrong. You know, there's walking meditation, right? Yeah. There's art. There's music,
eating meditation. Thich Nhat Hanh said he would take 2 hours to drink his tea in the morning because he would just be meditating as he.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, water meditation, candle meditation, just a bunch of different ways to get your practice started. Yeah. And typically, the best way to start your practice is just maybe finding where you're going to sit. You know, don't overthink.
This is great information because I think there is so much on how to do it.
Right, there is, and that I'm doing it wrong or I just can't, my mind. Well, because it's like going to the gym, right? We are in this, we want it now, right? But it's not going to happen now. So it's kind of like going to the gym where, you know, over a course of time, the more you go, the more muscle you're going to get, right? The thinner you're going to get. And that's kind of like going into the meditation practice. Mm-hmm. Your brain is a muscle, right? Your brain has been on overdrive and has been the master. And now you're starting to tell your brain, well, I'm the master, you know? Yeah. So you're becoming the master of your thoughts. So it's just getting simple, right? Keeping it super simple, finding a chair and saying, tomorrow I'm going to sit down, right? Maybe the next day, right? Saying, okay, well, I've got this special place and I'm going to sit here and maybe I'm just going to sit here and breathe, focus on my breath because your breath is super sacred.
That's my only way I feel like I'm properly meditating in my is when I'm really
guided meditations are really
and guided meditation but guided
meditation
that really tell me to focus on my breathing
is
like the deepest I get into meditation.
That's, you know, kind of my meditation practice started before recovery. It changed during recovery. But one of the main things I used from the very beginning, because I had such post-traumatic stress disorder, that these like looping thoughts and fears and pains and all the things that had happened wouldn't stop at night. I was on pills, you know, so using a guided meditation at night before I went to bed helped to put positive information into my mind, helped me to get focused, right?
Yeah.
And it helped me to relax and then go to sleep.
There's a really good app called Plum Village.
Gong.
And Thich Nhat Hanh, French monk, they developed it. And so if you download that app, it's all free. There's no
all
ads.
Of my clients have it.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
All of my clients have it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the first things.
Calm, I heard there's a Calm app.
Calm is pretty, yeah.
I just use YouTube. You can put anything.
That's
that
what I do for the most part. Yeah.
I need to clear my mind or peace of mind. Frequencies are really good, too. Mm. I don't know if we know anything about frequencies.
No, explain that.
So what is if it,
like
every,
a sound or something?
Yeah, frequency.
Like a higher frequency of sound?
Yes.
Okay.
So 528 would register as your heart chakra of love. So if we're putting in this frequency, yes, there's the
that's
om.
Love. That sounds like
yeah,
love.
Yeah, yeah. Right, there's a calming to it, right? Yeah. It helps to calm the mind.
So is that what it sounds like when if I would go to YouTube frequency meditation? It's like a do, or is it like a
no? It's music.
It's music. Oh, okay.
It's
okay,
calming.
Okay.
They have some that you can play for like 11 hours. You know, there's so many.
Some of those got Tupac on top of it. It's like
It's calming.
I'm a straight rider. You don't want to mess with me.
This feels like
my frequency right here.
yeah. There is some that have some really cool lo-fi beats to it, and then but it's in a certain frequency. And then they have affirmations playing in the back, like I am strong, I am love, I'm like all these things.
So the point is, there's no reason for you not to meditate.
There's no reason. Right.
And if you practice in the steps, quit doing 11 and a half.
Right.
Steps.
No, I think that is the key to our recovery.
Yeah.
You know, one of the key components.
It's radically transformed now.
Right.
I resisted it. I fought it. Yeah. But it has radically transformed. It's been the gateway to so many other things. Right. Well, and the coda work started coming alive because the coda work was paying attention to my thoughts. Well, you know, that was really jacked up because now I'm seeing all this stuff. So I had to learn to sit with it.
Right.
And then once I could create that separation, then that was when the light bulb went off. That is the deal, right? For me, it's like choosing what thought do I follow.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, there's so many levels and avenues and angles of where meditation can take you. I think also, too, if looking at the... connecting into this higher consciousness.
I just don't want it to be an excuse. No. I don't want it to be like, this is how I meditate.
No.
And I'm meditating. You know what I'm saying?
Know, clearing the mind and allowing your mind to open to all that is.
Yeah,
right?
That's it.
And knowing that, you know, the thoughts we can have control of, we can push them out. We can move them. You know,
the process and reason for meditation.
There's a lot of self-hatred, especially in recovery, right? We spend lot of time, you know, doing things. And so, you know, identifying what's up there. How are we talking to ourselves? How are we feeling? What can we let go of? And, you know, it really just starts with 1 minute and then we add 2 minutes, then we add 3 minutes. And the more you go to it, the more it opens and expands. So, you know, we are our biggest, you know,
That's what I'm talking about.
Just
man.
Well,
the thought.
And she's doing what night is the night you're doing that book?
We have Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. We're doing the one breath at a time. And then on Sundays, we have it at 6 o'clock as well. And that's more of just a kind of open platform where we'll do a reading out of the daily thought from the Betty Ford Clinic. We'll read that as the topic and we kind of just go from there.
Where's that at?
This is in Buford.
Okay.
Right. But I also in each meeting, we have a guided meditation. I usually pick something about 10 to 15 minutes from YouTube. Then we will have, I do sound therapy. I'll go around and do a little bit of a sound bowl on you. And then after that, we will go into open discussion.
I want to do that.
Yeah. It's pretty
cool. I'm down with
that. Let's go. Let's do it.
It's pretty cool.
Let's do that. We need to do that.
We need to do that.
And film it.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
I'm sorry.
That'd be awesome.
Because we've been talking about doing all different kinds of things and video and clipping it.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the biggest, and this has been my service, right? Like in the community. And it's been really beautiful to see some people that really came in thinking, I can't meditate. This is not for me. And they've been transformed. They're artists, artists that their whole art practice is now around meditation. I've got a piece in my meditation center that an artist that's in the recovery painted with me on the beach. Like, it's
that's
their
so cool,
life
man.
Now,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's changed their program. It's changed them. And there's such beauty and magic in the practice.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's how this table, exactly what this table was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me 4 hours just... being
going in,
just sitting there and then staring at it and then thinking and meditating and quiet and all this motion going on around me, and I wasn't even paying attention to it. And everyone was leaving me alone. It was like,
yeah,
it was a pretty cosmic moment. Just picking this little thing, you know?
Right. And then that's like beautiful that you said that. It's the your practice, your journey, your recovery, right?
Yeah, right.
You find what works for you.
Yeah.
Right. I might like to sit between, you know, 7 to 9 and stare into the ethers and talk to the, you know, the spirits. Mm-hmm. That's my thing, right? Your thing is to do art, right? So not to follow what everybody else
right
is
not
doing.
To close it in
to
really
close
open
it
up
it's yeah. all, everything your, about own thing. Our journey is seeking right what is best for you.
Well, Paige, this has been amazing.
Yes, it has been. It's such an honor. It's been such an honor to be asked to sit here with y'all.
Well,
and
it's
talk.
Been an amazing discussion. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, man, every time somebody sits there and they say this different these different ways. That's why I really think we should do something like that.
Yeah.
You know, brain spotting, you know, all those different types of ways that I don't practice.
Be like the Anthony Bourdain of mental
health. We'll critique it, you know.
Because there are
just
tasted
all right,
ways,
but I don't
you know.
Well, yeah, because your way is your way, you know.
It's your way.
This is the journey, really searching, because I feel like, you know, there's something in me that's like saying, I have to go on. Like, there's a change coming. I need to search. I need to, like, be a part of these things that are, you know, outside of the box of what has worked for me.
The new world is being created, and you're a light worker.
There it is. The new thing.
The ascension's happening. Yeah.
So we like to.
Earth angel.
We like to end the show with with kind of like your parting thought, which is like basically for someone who might be out there who is struggling, right? And I'll let you pick what they're struggling with your intuition. What would you say to that person who might be listening and needs to hear something from you?
What they're struggling with, you know, self-worth, that you are worthy and your life is needed. Mm. You are needed.
I love that.
We are in a great symphony, and your tone is part of this band, and it's needed to play. So don't give up, but join us in this game of life.
Bring your saxophone.
Nice. I like that. We need you to survive.
We need you.
Absolutely.
Paige, this has been amazing.
Amazing.
Thank you so much for being here.
So good.
If someone wanted to get to know more about you and the services you offer, or just to reach out and talk to you, I feel like you're the kind of person who would be willing to do that.
Absolutely.
How would they find you?
You can go to my website, goldenaurahealingcenter.com, and message or email. You could also find my number on the website and just shoot me a text or call me.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to the Most High Show. You are worthy, and we need you to survive. Peace.
Peace.